The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro, Micro and Small Cap News for Friday, the 16th of January, 2026. I do apologise, I've not done a podcast for several days. Yesterday I was so busy, so much news out. On company updates, training updates mainly. But I started off, you know, inputting data from the website about 7 in the morning. And literally, I was still doing it at about 7 in the evening. So I did 13 or 14 companies. And of course, I'm, you know, on my own here. So it takes a lot of time. And my eyes start burning. I do need short-sighted glasses. It's okay. But if I spend too long looking at a computer, my eyes start burning, you know. But so lots of news. I'm not going to do too much. In fact, I'm going to do no macro news today. There's just so much company news out there. I'll just cover the company news. And let's have a look at the markets first. By the way, any tips on, thanks to Daz, on the webinar on Wednesday, I mentioned my office, which we had built in the garden when we first moved into this house. It's got a mouse in the roof. Yeah, little miskies. So annoying. So normally you hear birds on top of the roof, you know, and I thought it was a bird. I've heard something scrabbling around up there. And I went outside just because it got on my nerves. They're up there for like 5 minutes. What are they doing? So I went up there to just shoo it off, and it wasn't a bird, no bird there. So what is that? And I think it's a mouse. Well, we know it's a mouse now. We bought a camera. My wife is a DIY crazy enthusiast. She literally has done everything around the house. She can't stop working. She's been outside fitting a mesh wire. And we've got a camera out there. We've got bait boxes, a trap. And we see this camera is brilliant. It's about 40 quid from Amazon. And we see the mouse come out every night, avoiding the bait boxes, avoiding the trap, going out, doing his little thing, going back into the roof of the office. Just climbs to the bottom, climbs up. It's so annoying. And so we've become Google experts on mice and all that stuff. But yeah, any tips on that? But thanks for Daz, a member of the club there, who's had a similar issue a couple of years back. And he said, in the end, you'll get them. Those bait boxes will get them. But we're now looking into sticky pads. I do feel a bit sorry for the mouse. It's going to die. You know, we're going to kill it. And I'm thinking, it doesn't know it's doing anything wrong. It doesn't know we spent lots of money on this office. They've just made a nice little cosy house and bed for them and the little babies. But you're ruining my office. And it's so annoying. But we see it every evening. Good little camera. I can't think of the maker's. Excellent camera, though. Just picks up any movement overnight. That's by the bit of a personal stuff there, but you know, it's like you know, it's a first world problem, I suppose. There we go. Let's look at the markets here. FTSE 100, of course, is at an all time high yesterday. It's down a fifth of 1% today, but we are at 10,219. I said this is very good. When you tend to see, you know, indices hitting highs, it doesn't just stop there, and I've been doing a lot of work on companies hitting lows. In fact, the webinar last week, I looked at some of the top 10 performers on the Microcap League last year and just went back over the history. If you remember, by the way, and you haven't checked out the webinar last week, the 7th, have a look at it, because I did crunch a lot of numbers in the spreadsheet. And I just looked at how long it takes for a company that's hit a 50-week low, then start moving back up into an uptrend. And I signify that by going past the 200-day moving average and then hitting a 52-week high. And generally, when they start hitting 52-week highs, that's when they really start going. So don't ever believe buying 52-week lows is a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's not. 52-week lows are a bad thing. It's price weakness. It's, you know, momentum in the wrong direction. And so it's selling begets sellers. You know, when a share price is going down, people sell. Goes down, more people sell. What you want is people chasing the price up. And what you need that is backed up by fundamentals as well. That means it can be a sustaining rise. And you see a lot of companies will pop, then they'll drop because they haven't got fundamental backing. So what you need is to get the fundamentals right and then technicals right as well. And then, you know, and like I say, well, last year I bought a couple of companies that were in downtrends, and I just got out, in the end, just got out of them. It was hard work. Day in, day out, seeing them go sideways or down, and just got out. And I thought, right. And generally, of the 10 companies I looked at, it took from hitting a 52-week low, and of course, they don't just hit one low. It can go lower and lower and lower. But the time it took from hitting a 52-week low after reading some news to getting above 200-day moving average was 94 days, 3 months. And in fact, within those 10 companies, there's two outliers that did it within, I think they had a real bad sell-off, then they had a V-shaped bounce, they hit to a new move, and it took about 5-10 days. So they brought the average down. So if you exclude those two, it's about 4-5 months before a company starts to rally again after hitting a low. So you don't want that. You want it going the other way, breaking 200-day moving average, hitting hives, price momentum you want. So if you remember and you haven't looked at that, you're sitting on a company that's going down, it's breaking new lows, have a look at that, because you've got to be very patient or just get out and get back in when they release a decent trading update that shows some upward momentum. Like I said, FTSE 100, all-time high. You'll see, more money coming in to that indices and almost like a champagne fountain, trickling down. Risk appetite grows, we can take on smaller cap companies, and it trickles down. And in fact, we'll probably look at the AIM All Share now. Where is that? It's 803. See, it is trickling down, and that is now the highest it's been since May 24. The AIM All Share. So it is trickling down. You've even had the FTSE 250, I think. Where is that? A recent, almost, is it? Yeah, that's at almost the highest it's been since 2021. So it happens everywhere. You start getting highs, they go higher and higher and higher. And so don't be afraid of highs. It's a very good, it's price strength. Think of it like that. People are buying it. And they're increasingly buying, shares at a higher price. That's a good sign. Stock 600. Again, yesterday, all-time high. It's down a fifth of 1% again today, 613. The S&P 500 in the US of A is down a little tad, but is it? Yeah, it's close to its all-time highs. It's a few points off that, pretty much. But it's pretty much flat today at 6,940. There's FTSE small cap. Is it all-time high? Yeah, all-time high, FTSE small cap. A quarter of 1% up today, 7,750. Russell 2000 in America, that's also, I think, see, this is good. It's a small cap, index, Russell 2000. That's up a fifth of 1%, all-time high, 2,680. FTSE 250 just covered. It's flat today, but it is at an all-time high at 23,279. What are the good? Dow Jones, recently all-time high, but it's just down 0.15% today, 49,372. The FTSE All-Share Index, all-time high pretty much yesterday. It's off a little bit today, 0.14% to 5,500. It's 5,510. The FTSE All-World Index, again, very close to an all-time high yesterday. And the AIM All-Share recent high. Sorry, bear with me, my wife is calling. Sorry, that was my wife talking about the mouse again. She's obsessed with the mouse. Absolutely obsessed with it, driving her nuts it is. I said, don't worry about it. You say, but it's amazing how such a little thing can get in your head, isn't it? Let's look at commodities. Brent crude. It's had a bit of a bounce last few days, but it's dropped off yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? Day before yesterday, it did drop off by 3.35%. But it's still at $64.41 a barrel. Of course, there's worry about Iranian or US invasion or attack on Iran. And they tend to happen on the weekend, don't they, these attacks? And the fact that you saw in the week that I think they've gone back in now, though, but British and American troops were withdrawing from their Qatar base. Okay, why are they doing that? So, and of course, Iran's quite a big oil producer, so it's a little bit worried there. Let's have a look at gold. Really? It's down 1% today, gold. 4,571. It's down the last 2 days, but it did hit 4,635 2 days ago. That's $4,571 an ounce. What else have we got? Copper. That's down. It's down quite. Well, down 3.4% today, copper. What is it to the ton? It's 12,763, but we are close to an all-time high there. It's been down the last 2 days. Yesterday was down 1%, today is down 3.3%, but close to an all-time high. What about silver? How's silver doing? Oh, it's down 5.3% today. It's got to have a consolidation and pullback, or pullback then consolidation, because it literally has nearly been going vertical since November. It was $53 an ounce in the end of November, and it shot up to $93 an ounce. So, you know, not far off, just doubling in little over 2 months. Not even 2 months. What else we got? Any other things? I got silver there. No, brain crew, done. Bitcoin, it's tried to break out. And it did break out from a recent high, which was like 93,900 pretty much. And it got to 98,000, but it's dropped back a little bit now. It's down back to 94,774. Dollar index, strengthening a little bit, dollar, and who knows what's happening. They were supposed to announce when they next head of the Fed in like, was it before Christmas? This is a couple of weeks. And they keep saying couple of weeks. Don't understand. You can keep saying that for the rest of your life. Couple of weeks. Yeah, a couple of weeks. I've noticed bond yields have been coming down, which is obviously good for the government, good for the country, basically. But they've had a little bounce the last 2 days, but they have been coming down and they hit recent lows and broke down below that. Now, the two-year yield is at 3.7, up 1.14% today. The 10-year is at 4.4, up 0.5% or 0.6%. And the 30-year is down at 5.14, which is up a 0.5%. But they were rolling over quite a bit last few days. A pound will buy you €1.15, and it'll buy you $1.33. Okay, let's look at the microcap database at sharepickers.com. These are companies that are all profitable. There are a couple of exceptions. If I see them becoming profitable next year or so, and there's good growth there, I mean, in fact, this is just for members only. If you want to become a member, go to sharepickers.com. I've added a company. It's a very interesting story there. Okay, it's quite high risk. It is high risk. But they've signed something recently, a bit of news there recently, that could see it becoming commercial. Okay, it's a loss. This is one of these companies, an exception to the rule that I put in there. That as well, if it plays out, the broker's target of 800% up on the current share price is justified. It is one of those kind of plays, you know. Like I said, high reward, higher riskish. But I think they've ticked off one of the most riskiest, or they've cleared one of the most riskiest hurdles of late. Now, if you go on the microcap database, okay, you'll see it on the 13th, and it's one up from the bottom, okay, just above Iofina. I haven't invested in it, but I think it's an interesting story. But like I say, it's quite risky, but I think it's just interesting. And I say, if it goes ahead, if it happens, I think it's one worth putting on your watch list, because if they tick off a couple of boxes now, then yeah, it could really motor. But check it out. It's one above Iofina on the members only. By the way, if you want to join the Sharepickers Investment Club, it'll cost you the equivalent of £2.88 a week. That's all. And like I said, you know, there's 100 ideas at least on the website. And those ideas are categorized and defined on, you know, fundamental metrics, technical metrics. In fact, 15 metrics in all. I think 13 fundamental and 2 technical. And if you look at the performance of the top 50, they've done very well over the last year. And in fact, the top 25, I think, have performed every other indices and most, in fact, all professional fund managers that manage small and microcap stocks. So it's completely based on, you know, fundamentals and technicals. So check it out. It's worth a look. And like I said, for the price of literally a jumbo Savoy from the chip shop, less than that, you can get access. And, you know, if you can't afford it, or if you can't be bothered to pay £2.80 a week, you're not going to find some investment ideas that can make you lots of money. You know, so do your own research. But they are, you know, these are very stringent quality filters that are applied to all companies. I add to the database, and then they're ranked on the microcap league, and they're ranked on, you know, fundamental technical filters. So it hopefully takes the legwork out of research for you, pretty much. But you still got to do your own research. But like I said, you know, it's rid of some of the dross. I'm not saying companies on that list won't perform. Of course they can. But it's just raising the probability of these companies returning you, you know, positive return on your money, basically. Anyway, let's start off with MJ Gleeson. GLE is ticker. They are, of course, a house builder, affordable homes, low-cost affordable homes. Two-bedroom homes start from 100 grand. They've also got Gleeson Land, of course, which they buy land and they get planning for it, whatever, and they sell it off to other people. But at 385 a share, market cap of 224 million, enterprise value at 223. They announced sort of end-of-year trading update today. What do they say here? Where this is H1 trading update, by the way. With budget concerns fading and following the interest rate cut in December, we expect to see an improvement in open market sales through the spring selling season. On that basis, we remain confident in our forecast for 2026. A robust performance in the period. They report sale of 841 homes, circa 6% more than the same period last year. Net reservation rates during the period increased to 0.75 per site per week. That's 0.48 excluding bulk reservations. And that compares to sort of 0.55. So now 0.75 and it was 0.55 last year. So I'm improving. The end of the second half of the current financial year with a forward order book of 978 plots. That's pretty much above the 597. So there are 978 plots, sorry. And last year was 597. Of which circa 650 sales are expected before the financial year end. Now, I would say, and I've been saying this for a while, housing is cyclical. Just take your pick. There's plenty out there you can pick from. There's many, you know, housing-related stocks, house builders out there. There's some that I think Taylor Wimpey pay like a 9% dividend at the moment. I like this company because it's small, it's quite efficient, and they do believe they're going to be the fastest house seller in the UK. And they're going to be delivering 3,000 homes per annum over the next few years. And by the way, the forecasts for 26 are for 14% top-line growth to 418.3 million and net profit growth of 16%, and that will put them on a PE of 12. Now, if you go forward to 27, they're looking at another 13% top-line growth, so it's double-digit top-line growth, and 32% net profit growth in 27 on 26, PE of 9. And then it gets even better going forward again, 2028, 13% top-line growth to 536.8 million, 23% net profit growth to 29.7 million, and a PE of 8 at the current share price, forecast PE of 8. And I understand, you know, housing is cyclical, and you tend to have a cracking run when interest rates come down, and we're in that period right now. The worries were of delays of the budget. Many people sort of held off on purchasing. People didn't know it was in the budget. It was doom and gloom. Again, it's the government getting away business. And they're trying to, they should be helping business. But hopefully now, you know, sentiment will get a bit more positive as interest come down. So, I look at Gleeson. I'd say I do hold Gleeson. I'm biased, but I said this. It's pretty much the same story on all house builders. It's worth looking at. Next, cab payments. It's another one I do hold, actually. I took a small position about a month back. But the United Kingdom based holding company for Crown Agents Bank, they're in effects and all that stuff. And they've been sort of, you know, widening their geographically footprint and their products. They came to the market in a disaster IPO. And if you look at the chart of CAB, where are they? They IPO'd, right, back in, oh, let's get rid of that. 6th of July 2023, and they came to the market at, 320 a share, and they hit a low in April 25 of 37 pence. So from £3 on, 320 to 37 pence, but they have been trending up. They're now 73 pence, okay? So they came out with a full year trading update, end of year trading update, and they said, continue to trade positively through the second half of 25, with total income expected to be approximately 119 million and adjusted EBITDA expected to be slightly above the range of consensus estimates for 12 months to the 31st December 2025. Now, the estimates were for revenue to be 112.6 million, so they beat that by 8%, 119 million. EBITDA was expected to be 33.8 million, And the company did not give a figure, but they said slightly above this. It was a beat above the upper end of estimates. Brokers have not updated their forecast yet. They say, for now, we do not have the detail required to form new estimates, so we wait until the 5th of March when they release their full year results. But it's good they've beaten this, because the forecast previously, I have here, 110 million top line and a net profit of 13.1 million, which puts on a PE 14, which is okay. But looking forward to 26, so they continue. And they have been onboarding lots of clients in H1, H2, which will come into effect in the second half of 25 and more prominently in 26 and 27. So looking at 15% top line growth for 26 to 126.7 million and 74% net profit growth to 22.8 million. That puts them on a PE of 8. For that type of growth, that's still cheap. Even after the rise we just had, yesterday was up like, 12%. Today it's pretty flat to down half 1%. But even after that, that's a PE of 8. And looking forward to 27, it's showing 16% top line growth, 147.1 million, up 16% top line. Net profit up 35% to 30.8 million. That would be a PE of 6. That's too cheap for that growth. If they hit those numbers. So it's worth a look, I think. What's next? I'm biased. Do your own research. But it's recently hit a 52-week high from a low base, of course. That's a sign of strength. And of course, above 200-day moving average. What else? Oh, Digital Box, right? This is interesting. Because they are, I don't believe this. I don't understand the forecast here. So they are a nano cap. They're in the nano cap league. They've got a small league called the nano cap league for companies below 20 million on the website. But market cap 5.4 million, enterprise value 3.4. What did they come out with? A trading update. Why I don't like them, pretty much, or why I don't like the company, it's just their model. Because they do publishing at scale on mobile platforms. They operate Entertainment Daily, Daily Mash, The Tab, the Poke and TV Guide.co.uk. Now, of course, there's a huge amount of upheaval in this market due to AI advertising. And that's, they earn their money from advertising, I believe. But the forecasts are a bit nuts here. So they did say for the full year update, they expect EBITDA for the year ended the 31st of December to be comfortably ahead of market consensus. I got a note. This sentence had been slightly changed from the previous update, where they said EBITDA would be significantly ahead. Nevertheless, it's still a beat, So for 25, they're expected to do 4 million top line, but they're making a net loss of 100 grand. Now for 26, they're expected to do 25% top line growth to 5 million and a profit of 400K. So it's all small stuff, but it's a PE of 14. Now for 27, I don't know where they get these figures from. And I thought, is this a mistake? They're looking at 7 million top line, which is 40% growth, and 975% growth for net profit to 4.3 million. That's a PE of 1. Oh, that's got to be a mistake, surely. It's got to be 430,000. I've looked at the forecast over and again. I think that can't be right. You can't get that kind of margin from that. So it's probably an aberration, anomaly, a mistake on the broker's side. There's no way you can do that. But anyway, Distribution Finance Capital doing very well, ahead of expectations. Again, this is on the market cap league. It's in the top 25. It's done very well the last year or so. What did they say? They had a trading update again. Fully financial performance ahead of expectations with strong runway in place, underpinning new medium-term targets. Brokers have nudged up their target price from 85 to 90 pence. They say our target 90 pence uses a blended multiple base approach and implies estimated 11 times price earnings ratio and a 1.1 price to tangible net asset value based on our 2026 estimates. And so they expect to see 20% top line growth for 25 to 54.8 million, 13 million net profit. That's down 7%, but it's still a PE of 7. And 26, 14% top-line growth to 62.4 million and 11% net profit growth to 14.4 million, again, PE of 7. And it continues top-line growth double-digit again, just about, in 27 to 68.9 million. That's 10% up. And 22% growth in net profit to 17.6 million. That would be a PE6. So even though it's risen a lot, like I said, it doesn't seem to be overvalued. As long as they hit those figures, looking good. Where else? Finseta. Let's have a quick look at that. Again, they're a foreign exchange, but they are a nano cap. FIN is ticker. Market cap, 7.8 million. And they came out with a full year trading update for 25. The group expects to report full year 25 revenue of 12.4 million. It's up from 11.4, an increase of 9%, reflecting growth both in active customers to 1,111, up from 1,059, and average revenue per customer. Despite the positive narrative here within the RNS, the broker slightly downgraded 2025 numbers. The question here is, do Finn have enough cash to get them to break even? Because they are loss-making. They currently have net debt of 300K, which is, they did have net cash last year of 600,000. This primarily reflects reduced operating cash flow in FY25 and a cash outflow from investing activities of approximately 1.1 million on account of the group's planned investment in the strategic growth initiatives, which will support growth in future periods. The group expects to return to cash flow generation in H2 2026. The answer is maybe there. They do have enough cash. But for 25, like I said, 9% top line growth, 12.4 million, but they're going to be making a net loss of 700K. Now, they turn this around for 26. They see 32% top line growth to 16.4 million, but 100K of profit still puts them on a PE of 79. But for 27, now this is where it gets interesting. 20.5 million top line, that's 25% growth on 26, and 1.8 million net profit. That's 1,700% growth on 26. Of course, it's from a low base. 26 was 100K net profit. So there's a way to go until we get to 27. But it's worth monitoring because at 14 pence, that would put them on a PE of just 5. This is on double-digit top and bottom line growth. That's too cheap. However, before we jump to 2027, it would be worth keeping an eye on our trading updates in 26 to see if they're on track. For these number first. If they are on track, it will not stay this cheap, full stop. So it's a tiddler, but maybe worth a watch. Maybe worth a Finseta, F-I-N. Let's have a look. No, won't cover that. Truefin have covered that. Doing very well. Like I said, it could have, it's, you know, again, ahead of expectations, Truefin. Let's go into that. Holding company of an operating group of companies scores Truefin 3 growth-focused technology businesses operating niche markets. You've got Auction Finance, PlayStack and Sotargo. So at £1.20 a share, the 118 million market cap, 107 million enterprise value. Now they announced a trading update. They say above expectations. And I did mention, I said there's always a chance more hit games from PlayStack, which would result in more growth. There are 4 games released in 25, including Unbeatable, Unbeatable Gameplay, Trailer 2. Unbeatable, the game trailers, had over 500,000 views. 8 games scheduled to be released in 26, including Mortal Shell 2. Now, Mortal Shell 2 sold 1 million units, the original one, at $20 a unit from being an unknown game. So Mortal Shell 2 will sell for $40, double the price, and they expect to hit 1.5 million units, which works out to about 60 million. The publisher split is unknown, but industry standards are around about 70-30, 60-40 in favour of the publisher. Brokers update their numbers and increase the target from 138 pence to 175 pence. Like I said, at the moment, yeah, the growth for, well, 25 was an excellent year. 24 was an excellent year. 25 was a very good year as well. But 63 million top line growth of 15%, that is, and net profit growth of 111% to 7.7 million. Now, for 26, you would think they couldn't beat that, but they are. But it's not as pronounced. But 5% top line growth to 66.1 million, and net profit growth of 13% to 8.7, puts on a PE of 14. EV earnings of 12. I think that's decent. Now, for 27, but listen, if they have, and they've had a consistent record of having hit games, really have, Trufin, it's been knocking out of the park. For 27, they're only expected to do 2% top-line growth, right? 67.7 million. But net profit expected to grow by 7% to 9.3. That puts them on a PE of 13. But remember, with games publishers like this, or people who develop games, there's always a chance of upward surprise if they have a big hit game on their hands, like Mortal Shell. So keep an eye on it. Any dips there, you know, and as I say, it's quite unpredictable games, but they've got a very good track record, Trufin. So I wouldn't put it past them to come up with another big hit game and do very well. What else am I going to add? I can't go without looking at Ramsden's, can I? Ramsden's annual results. This has knocked it out of the park. So at £4.20 a share, market cap 135 million, enterprise value 128.9 million. A growing diversified financial services provider and retailer operating in four core business segments of foreign currency exchange, pawnbroking loans, precious metal buying and selling, and retailing of secondhand jewellery. Yes, the results were excellent. So, pretty much 22% top-line growth, 116.8 million. Net profit growth of 43% to 11.8 million. And going forward, they expect more growth for 26. So 11% top-line growth for 26 to 129.4 million. And net profit growth of 14%. This is on top of 43%, mind, to 13.6 million. And that would be a PE of 9, EV earnings of 9, a PE of 10. And they are growing their estate by about 8 to 12 shops a year, which adds half a million quid top line produced every shop. They become profitable after in year 2-3, and they get more efficient as time goes on. What I like about Ramsden's is, like I said, they're, you know, it's a very efficient model. I just listened to Peter Kenyon on Walking the Dog, listen to the podcast on Investor Meat Company. If you don't know about that site, it's worth looking at. Investor Meat Company, you can just listen to, you know, webinars and that stuff. And it just gives you more confidence in the company. They're very discerning over where they take shops. And they say there's pretty much no limit. They could double the estate, pretty much, and be profitable, you know, and grow it. And they don't need to raise money at all, of course. It's all from their own cash generated. They could double the estate. They've got 168 shops at the moment, and predominantly in Northwest. But what I like is that, you know, that in itself is diversification, having that many shops. Then within each shop, they have four different revenue streams, and they're almost all equal on how much they take. And so they're almost like recession-proof. And if you've seen, I mean, they've benefited from the attention that gold's getting. But they always get a margin. It's never a fixed cost. So they always get a margin on gold. And like I said, when people are advertising or talking about gold, it's at all-time highs. It's very good for Ramsden's. What people do is they have dedicated websites on each of their segments, and people then go in, the store locators go in and sell their gold. But whatever happens, you know, if you look at the gold, hasn't always rallied since 2017 when they became listed. They've been around for longer than that. They became listed and do the management buyout. But they've been listed in 2017. And since that time, they've, like I said, they've increased their revenue by about 230%, increased their profit by over 550%. So the operational gearing and the economies of scale here is amazing. But if you listen to Peter and what they look for in new stores and estates, it gives you a lot of confidence as a shareholder. It's one of these companies, even though it's done, like, you know, done very well in the last 12 months. Share price has gone up by 50-60% maybe. It's not all about that. They pay a decent dividend, and it's one of those ones that will keep plodding away for years and years, and before you know, it'll be, you know, a couple of 100% higher in about 3, 4, 5 years' time. It's one of those, it's a rare animal in that it's a small cap, but it's largely safe. It's a safe play, you know? Good balance sheet, really, you know, improving. Just listen to what he talks about keeping employees happy, you know, their turnover for retail is like 20%. Now, compared to, you know, peers in the retail area, 50%. And he said in London, it's more towards turnover of stars, 50 to 100%. And they're down at 20%. That's not through people not liking, you know, people just move on sometimes to others. But they're all about that, really have got it going. The ethos is correct. Their model is correct. It's just a lovely little business that you can hold and it'll keep paying you for years. Yes, the share price will go up and down a little bit, but the trend will be up. And this, they got it down to a T, you know. They don't take any risks. And in fact, they paused last year because of the budget. They thought there'd be high street hell for certain companies because of the budget. And they're sort of correct. So just wait, see what happens. And maybe we can pick up some good deals. And they proved to be correct. And now they say there's lots of deals coming through, empty retail estate shops, that they good locations. The only thing that's limiting them is locations. They know where they want to be, you know? And so they said now those locations are coming up because you've had, you know, business rates squeezing a lot of people. In fact, a couple of shops have gone through administration, a couple of shops are shutting down, and that's an opportunity for them because they can be in these prime in retail locations that they want to be in. So just really nice to listen to how, you know, professional they are. And they're not, you know, they could go, like I said, they could expand as quick as they want to. But even where they expand is very good. So he said, I don't want to put too much pressure on my regional managers by opening too many sites in one area, you know, because they have a lot looked after. So we try and, you know, if we go to a location somewhere and we've had a few open in that area, we will say, no, let's wait there, let's wait. So it's very good. I like the way the business is run. It's one of these safe stocks, I believe, that will carry on. And even if gold crashes, it won't have a... Gold's not going to crash, put it that way. But, I mean, it doesn't matter because they get a margin. It's not, they're not like a gold miner or producer who's got a lot of fixed costs. They just change, you know. If gold drops, then they'll just start, you know, buying it at a cheaper rate and still getting a margin on it, you know? So, yeah, it's a nice, lovely little business. It's one of those ones you should have in your portfolio is a small cap safe stock that'll pay you for years and years. And then you can have a couple of other risky ones as well. What else? Let's do two more then. Brave Bison. I do like what these guys are doing. At 71 pence a share, they're 72 million market cap, 65 million enterprise value. Digital media, marketing technology company. We work with global brand advertisers like New Balance, SharkNinja, and Asos, or Asus, to create, not Asos, the clothing brand, Asos, the computer brand, to create digital media campaigns and social media advertising. And our sports and entertainment practice works with federations. Now, you've got to draw a line of difference between normal advertising media people, companies, agencies, and people like Brave Bison. Brave Bison are in the heart of AI. So you hear everyone's been threatened by AI. These guys have won awards for their AI products, okay? And so when you got big brands who want to know how to get, you know, how to take advantage of AI, they come and see these guys. So far from being a victim of AI, they are a benefactor of AI. And they're very aggressive on acquisitions. But I was surprised the share price didn't shoot up more. I do hold a bit of stock Brave Bison, by the way, on their recent trading update. Because I was cautious about, there are lots of peers coming out, advertising agencies come out and saying that the market's very hard. And Brave Bison's the only one who happened to be doing that. But since their last update, of course, worry has settled into the share price a little bit. And, whoa, including me, I thought that they can't be doing well, surely. And it just shows they're a different animal. They're a bison, but a different animal. I mean, the trading update for full year, it was very positive. Well, they said their revenue, their EBITDA, their adjusted profit for tax and cash all expect to be ahead of expectations. And they also expect to repay all debt by the end of 2026 because they've acquired five businesses last year, I believe. And yet, they're going to have no debt by the end of the year. That shows a cash generative. So for 2025, 57% top-line growth to 33.5 million and reported net profit of 1.6, which is down 29%. But that's, you know, due to acquisitions. So the adjusted profit, net profit, is 5.2 million. Which, of course, is a big up increase. Now, for 2026, again, 34% top-line growth. Net profit up 244%, this is reported, to 5.5 million. That would be a PE of 13. That to me is too cheap on those growth estimates. And you've got two, and by the way, adjusted net profit for 26 is 7.5 million. Reported net profit is 5.55. So, you know, I think under stewardship of the Green Brothers, a company worth keeping an eye on, as they seem to be determined to create a more significant player in the sector through ambitious acquisition strategy. Part of me thinks it isn't a question of if this company does well, but when. They also hold 19.5% of the company, so it's within their interest to make it a success. They're owner-operators, pretty much, who have skin in the game, you know. So Brave Bison, worth watching. Let's do one more, I think. Eagle Eye. I do like the technology of this company. I do question, the only thing I worry about is the valuation. I know software businesses sometimes are valued on sales. I tend not to go in with that metric because you can get burnt. Because you can have a company, for example, you know, seemingly okay on sales. And by that, you could say, look, three times sales, they're fine. And turn out no profit, and they could keep losing money for a long time you know, need to raise money and all that stuff. So I do want to see a company generating cash. But this company, I think, had four contracts recently from the US. So they are a leading software as a service and AI technology company enabling retail, travel, and hospitality brands to earn the loyalty of their customers by powering their real-time, omni-channel, and personalized consumer marketing activities at scale. So I think they've got a contract with Asda, with Tesco's, and they've recently had quite a few out in America. They've got a big one with, who is the company? A big one coming out next couple of years with SAR, is it? One of the big companies in Europe. One of the biggest companies in Europe, which is really going to kick in next couple of years. But this year, what are they announced, by the way? Multi-year contract win with, in the US, who is it? With Wakefern Food Corp, largest retailer-owned supermarket cooperative in the United States. So they don't say anything about the money here, but they've got 380 supermarkets. That's a lot, isn't it, in the US? And like I said, they've had another one on the 8th of the 12th, US supermarket chain. 10th of the 11th, multi-year contract with North American retailer. And a US contract update in June. So our multi-global OEM agreement on the 13th of last year, which will be kicking in next couple of years. So their market cap, did I mention their market cap? They are a 91 million market cap at £3.05 a share. Enterprise value, 79 million. So they've got a nice amount of cash there. They've got, last set of full year results, they had 12.3 million of cash, which is nice to see. But 2025, because they had a cancellation of a contract, they've taken a bit of a knock. So it's, their revenue for the 25 is going to be dropping by 5% to 45.9 million. And they're going to make a net loss of 3.7 million. Now, they're starting to bounce off the bottom here. And they're above the 200-day moving average. But I'm just going to wait until those numbers come out, I think, because, you know, if they report that 5%, it means you see how the market reacts to those full year results. Put it that way. For 27, they're expected to see 19% top line growth. Is that for 26, 27? Hang on. Let's scroll up. It's for 26. So, because their end of year is the 30th of June, 25. So, yeah, for 26, which runs this year ends in June, yeah. Top line contraction by 5%. So dropping revenue by 5%. Net profit down to a loss of 3.7 million. For 27, which of course starts in June this year, they're expecting 19% top line growth, net profit of 1.7 million. That still puts them on a PE of 54. EV earnings of 47. Then for 28, they're expected to see 15% top line growth to 62.8 million. And 153% bottom line growth to 4.3 million. Still 21 times, you know, earnings, PE of 21, EV earnings of 18. But I think them being a software company with big brands on, I think you can afford it a bit of leeway on the valuation here. But like I said, that's not until 2028, which starts on the 1st of July 2027. But, like I said, that big OEM agreement, a multi-year OEM agreement with one of the world's largest enterprise software vendors. That was one a while back. But so it's a company with a tech I quite like, you know, it seems very interesting. But but I said, the only question I have there is valuation, pretty much. Anyway, I banged on enough. Like I said, for members, there's one I've added. I wouldn't say it's an investment yet. It's a bit too risky. But it's an interesting story. And if it plays off commercially, it could be quite big. And if you look at the forecasts that I plugged in there from the brokers, you think, what? It was an eye-opener when I looked at it. I thought, what? What on earth? So if you go on the database on page one, because there's like hundreds of pages now. Well, I don't know if it's hundreds, but it's lots. On page one of the database, it's one up from the bottom. Check it out. It's worth a read. Like the, you know, just learning something like that is worth the yearly, you know, the subscription alone, just because I don't know how much you invest, but let's be honest, if you can't afford, you know, £2.80 a week, you shouldn't be investing anyway. I don't mean to be nasty, but, you know, and you need to pay for ideas. And these are not my ideas. It's all based off, you know, I give a little comment at the bottom of the database, but 98% of the data you see, probably more than that, 99%, is factual. You know, it's fundamentals, it's numbers, it's technicals, and it's broker comments. So, you know, do your research there. Thank you very much for joining. Don't forget, if you do join, you know, check out, go to sharepickers.com. About us, you can see more by the website if you want to join. Like I say, 40% off, and you can get up at £2.80 a week. That's it. Have a nice weekend. Hope you have a lovely weekend. Who knows, maybe we'll catch a mouse this weekend in our household. That'll be the joy of the weekend. But until next week, have a cracking one, and speak you next weeky. Muchos appreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.